Hello, and welcome to another Forgotten Fantasy podcast, a Gamerzoological production. Today we're going to be continuing the Emperor Blood novel with Part 2, Chapter 4. We'll see what happens to Tanshi this time. I hope you enjoy it.
Chapter 4. The mini-robot bumped against a passed-out partier dressed as a ghost. The lone guest groaned, stumbled up, and headed for the airlock. "That's right," Han said. "Get out. You're the last one left. The Halloween bash is long over." Dressed and ready for the wedding, Tanshi and Anne straightened the lounge to pass the time. Tanshi pulled down the black and yellow streamers and straightened the feathered wedding bells. Anne yanked open the cellophane around a bunch of flowers, resentful at being lumbered with a job Andre would not have the time to fuss over. She knew he would whine at her pathetic efforts. She jammed the stems into an oasis sitting on a flat dish on the coffee table. Tanshi winched. "Let me," he said. He contemplated the flowers for a moment, then cut the ends of the stems with his pocket knife, some shorter, some long. Anne stared in disbelief as he effortlessly arranged the iris, chrysanthemums, moonflowers, and ferns. "That's beautiful," she said. "Men do flower arranging on Menendek?" "Thank you. Everyone, well, the noble class, does it. It's a form of meditation, concentrating on the form and beauty. Shall I show you some tips with the next phase?" "I'm hopeless at it. Andre's such a perfectionist. He fluttered and fussed so much when he tried to show us that I just gave up." Tanshi smiled. "He can wreck any calming art. I'll show you ancient heron among the reeds and lilies." He brought over the empty vase waiting on the side table and placed it in front of Anne. He stood too close beside her. Their hands brushed as he handed her a piece of pine. "This branch means long life, in this case for the marriage." The evergreen broke in two when she stabbed the oasis. Tanshi trimmed it with his penknife. "Don't be nervous. If it snaps, you improvise." His large hands, sure and precise, pushed both pieces into the oasis and placed the flowers and ferns. Anne's stomach flipped over. How could she stay calm with him so near to her? Andre shrieked from his bedroom. John appeared in the lounge. He leaned against the doorframe, tapped dry bud into his pipe, lit it, and took a deep drag. "The bride having an attack of nerves?" Anne asked. "Ha!" John said. "I don't know how Susu can put up with his abuse." John imitated. "Straighten the layers. I can't see the chartreuse. The sash isn't even. Then a total freak-out. Ridiculous queen." "You look good in the black military style," Anne said. "Great brass buttons." "You look fantastic," John said. "Where'd you get your outfit?" "Tanshi picked it out for me." John raised an eyebrow. "There's hope for you yet, Captain." "A beautiful woman deserves beautiful things," Tanshi said. Anne held back a blush. She was becoming used to his polite compliments. "Has Andre seen how you look?" John asked. "No, go show him. It'll cheer him up," John said. "Just a moment. I have something for you and Anne," Tanshi said. He visited his room and returned with two boxes. He handed the large square one to John. It contained an astrolabe. "Thank you. I've always wanted one of these," John said, overwhelmed. Anne received an oblong velvet box. She opened it and found a large green teardrop pendant and earrings. "Are these emeralds?" she asked. "Yes." "I can't accept this. It's much too rare and expensive. I hardly know you." "Where I'm going, I won't need my money," Tanshi said. "You're making me a sweater." "It's not the same. And won't you have a commissary?" Anne remembered his shunning when he shook his head. "Please, you've been kind, and I enjoyed buying it for you. Don't think you're getting in my pants with this." "Jesus, Anne." John looked embarrassed. "Don't swear," Anne said. "It's not swearing when you're no longer a Christian," John said. "Oh, John, you love church," Anne said. He shrugged. "It doesn't love me." She felt a tug on the jewelry box and looked down to see Tanshi's hands closing the box. His face had a closed look. Anne flushed with shame. What was wrong with her that stupid words popped out of her mouth? Mother Mary was right. She turned men against her. She held on to the box. "I'm so sorry." Anne burst into tears. "The men are rough around here," John said, "and Christians want women to be virgins when they marry. Another strike against them." "It's all about love and respect," Anne said. "You know that, or you wouldn't want to get married yourself." She sniffed. Is it so wrong to ask for love and respect instead of a bunch of quick cold boinks in the dark? No. Tanchi picked up the necklace, lifted her loose hair, and placed the pendant around her neck. His hand lingered on her hair, and he stepped away. Though perhaps if I'd sacrificed love for duty and stayed in my miserable marriage to Murasaki, Kukue would still be alive. Or all of our cities would be destroyed because you weren't captain of the Mephisto. As the great Abbess says, it's fruitless to divine the paths of the past. Andre spoke from the hall. Dressed in a dark red pant kimono with the embroidered moonflower symbol of the Menendek royal family, hair twisted up in a knot within a gold circlet, hand resting on the ivory handle of the ceremonial stake sheathed at his side, he did not look like a bride, but a great prince. He narrowed his eyes at the astrolabe in John's hands. Spent all your worldly goods yet, elder brother? There'll be an amount left that you can give to charity, younger brother. Tanchi handed Andre a small package folded in the shape of a crane. Small comfort when you're gone. Andre tugged at the wings of the bird, and it opened to reveal the rubber vampire head nestled in its belly. His grim face dissolved into a grin. That's bad. Look at the bulging bloodshot eyes. He squeezed the head. The red thread shot out and stuck all over him. My clothes, right before the wedding. John hooted with laughter. Tanchi smirked. Andre picked the harmless filaments off his front, unsuccessfully hiding the irritation of a practical joker caught out. I know all about these heads. I feel sorry for you. Your attempt at a prank is pathetic. Tanchi raised an eyebrow. Okay, thanks. It's a nice piece of kitsch. Anne remembered her manners and put on the earrings. Thank you for the jewelry. I like it. You're welcome. Tanchi gave her a warm smile. Don't you two look a treat, Andre said. Anne, I can't believe it. You can make yourself beautiful if you try. A little makeup and you'd be perfect, but I can't expect everything. She's perfect. No need to plaster stuff all over her fresh blood skin, Tanchi said. A new romance brewing? Andre raised his eyebrows. Anne and Tanchi glanced at each other. No, they both said too quickly. I don't think so. Andre smiled and held out his arm to John. Come, my love, it's time. They linked arms and moved to the door of the ship, Anne and Tanchi following. Even though she had seen them together 1,000 times, often in a passionate embrace, Anne couldn't shake the oddity of John and Andre standing face to face, hands clasped, staring into each other's eyes as the station master spoke. It jumped out that they were 2 virile men, not a bride and a groom. She felt an irrational jealousy that the 2 men could marry, while she, a willing heterosexual woman, faced a lifetime alone. She thought once again about becoming a nun, but Mother Mary had told her that lack of a boyfriend was not an acceptable reason to join. Anne shook off her feelings in case they showed on her face. With these rings, Andre and John unite in love. The station master held out the rings in his cupped palms. Forsaking all others, they will honor each other's customs and cultures in a trusting and devoted relationship. They will support each other through joy and sorrow, happiness and grief. They will create a loving home for each other and their future children. Anne started. Children? Who said anything about children? She imagined herself auntie to some damaged adopted waifs, while Andre and John carried on their party lifestyle. Forget always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Always a babysitter, never a mother. She hated her life. Yet where could she go, and what would she do without John and Demeter? Change was too awful to contemplate. Andre took a ring from the station master's open palms, placed it on John's finger, and said, "Steel, cold, hard stars, between the staked silence, lonely in exile I found you, and the stars bloomed comfort and love." John took the other ring, placed it on Andre's finger, and said, "Unwanted, rejected, in the closed dark of space, life and automation, cast away, I found love's hope in your open kiss." Not bad, Anne thought. Andre's tutoring had paid off. She should be happy for John, not thinking of herself as usual. Anne smiled at John, and he smiled back. "My blood is your blood." John held out his wrist, and Andre bent to it, took a small bite and a small suck. "My blood is your blood." Andre held out his wrist, and to Anne's amazement, John bent to it, bit, and sucked. This took the culture thing too far. She gazed at Tanchi. He stared at the oozing blood with an intent expression. Andre and John placed their cuts together, and the station master wound the traditional ribbon around their wrists. Bonded in blood, brothers and partners in life, by the power granted to me by the Council of Ganymede, I pronounce you married, the station master said. John and Andre wrapped their arms around each other and kissed, their lips still touched with blood. They moved apart and turned to an audience that was full of vampires, short on humans. A handful of John and Andre's gay friends from the station and some business accounts made up most of the humans. Anne noted Mother Mary, the only person she could call a friend. Any other women, all connected with the church, and never close, acquaintance really, had drifted away when the Andre and John affair started. Though, as she looked over the vampires, employees, the ambassador, Tanchi's soldiers, Anne realized that none of them could be called Andre's friend or his family. In one case, the family had died. In the other, her family, the relatives had disowned. Not one of her relatives had come up from Ganymede, though ancient Auntie Bridget, the good soul too sick to travel, had sent a nice note and a serving platter. Anne sighed and pasted on a smile as she walked back down the aisle behind the married couple. A crowd had gathered around the edge of the Hall of Religions. A double line of Menendic military stood outside the chapel door, forming an honor guard. The hall lights dimmed to the visibility of a romantic restaurant or a dance club, the comfort level of vampires. Andre and John exited the door. The soldiers salaamed, knelt, jumped to attention, and drew lasers with a bulbous attachment at the end of the barrel. They held their weapons up in a stiff arm salute. Tanchi barked out an order. Crimson light arched and pulsed into a rainbow that Andre and John passed under. The crowd murmured. Andre and John stopped in the center of the religious mosaic, Anne and Tanchi behind them. "I greet you, people of the Alliance Space Station," Andre said. "To thank you for your long hospitality, we wish to present some examples of our culture."
"Having humans for dinner?" someone in the crowd called out. Several people shushed.
The black sun covered the moons, mocking the reign of time, yet still he followed fortune's threads. "A section from the blood-death dance of the blood rings," Andre said. "Sakamura meets his future wife while hunting." "Hope you aren't making this excerpt too long," John murmured. "Culture's good for you," Andre said. "That statement really worries me." "Phew." They moved back in front of the doors to the municipal chapel. The crowd in front of the entrance to the hall parted for a drummer and musicians with lyres and flutes. Behind them came an ornately dressed man and woman. Anne recognized Nan under the makeup of the woman. The man was one of the Menendek ambassador's executive assistants. Two huge blonde puppets, male and female, followed them. Their long, loose arms were controlled by metal rods by the vampires who walked on stilts under the costume. Five vampires, waving branches, followed. All of them except the two puppets salaamed and knelt to Andre. The wedding party returned to the salon. The arms of the puppets waved a graceful benediction. "Who are they?" Anne asked Tanchi. "The gods, Anios and Phoebos, the heavenly twins, Prince Sakamura, and the Lady Renata, the chorus." The chorus sang a long song, then positioned themselves in a line between the heavenly twins. "The forest and moons at night," Tanchi whispered. "I kind of figured that out," Anne said. "Shh," Andre said. The character of Renata wore a bow and a quiver of arrows. She strung the bow and glided about, pointing her arrow at the trees while singing. The trees performed a stately dance, bowing and swaying with an invisible wind. The puppets flipped open fans painted like clouds and sailed them across their bodies. "O moon, moon, precious morning moon!" A stilted line from a long-ago school play popped into Anne's head, and she stifled a giggle. Sakamura jumped from behind the chorus. He crouched and bared his fangs, then ran and leaped and tumbled, an amazing athletic performance. His costume flew about him, and he became a deer eating in the forest. The drums beat faster. The deer froze, then turned into the vampire who stalked it. The vampire hypnotized the imaginary deer, which fell. The vampire crouched over the empty deer costume and fed. Renata loosed her arrow, which looked as if it stabbed Sakamura. Blood spurted from his neck, and the crowd gasped. Sakamura collapsed. Renata ran to him and mimed her grief. She burst into a song that the chorus answered.
If a human, Sakamura would have died several times over in the time it took Renata to finish her area. She gathered her love into her arms and plunged her fangs into his neck. He awoke, and while they kissed, the forest waved its branches and sang a final chorus. How could he come alive again when she finished him off by feeding on him? Anne repressed a sudden horror at the scene. He didn't die. There's always a tiny spark of life. She wasn't feeding on him. She filled him with his blood to revive him and prevent the shame of blood madness, Tanchi said. I understand. Not everyone's so fortunate as to have a Renata, Anne said. Yes. He stared across the hall at the empty cross above the door to St. Michael's. Anne took his hand and squeezed it. He gave a small, sad smile and squeezed back. A group of March crowded the open door of their chapel. They did not look pleased. Too bad. The crowd clapped and the players stood and bowed. The actors left the way they had come. The soldiers ran into formation. Tanchi walked over, faced them, and barked an order. Tanchi and the soldiers salaamed and knelt before Andre, then jumped to their feet with a stiff-armed Menendez salute. They performed drills with lasers. The soldiers formed into pairs and bowed to their partner. They flipped each other, kicked, and stabbed with stakes using Inoten, the Menendez martial art. It resembled a beautiful, violent, choreographed dance. Tanchi barked an order, and the soldiers ran into formation. He salaamed and bowed to them. The soldiers saluted, then, as one, they kowtowed. The color drained from Tanchi's face. The general gasped. A slow smile crossed Andre's face. No, no, Tanchi berated them in Menendez. They refused to move. Tanchi sighed. He lifted his palms. King Kelte, Shimpe. The soldiers rose. A white-haired man stepped out from among the march and spoke to Tanchi and Menendez. Anne pulled out her handheld. Demeter was a step ahead of her. The old man, Senator Reimer, he says, wait until your regent hears about this devil. The general stepped away from Andre. Are you all mad? You're all demoted to private, but will give the same service on the ship, flogging for this traitorous gesture. We thank you for your generosity, General, Tanchi said. Unbelievable arrogance, the general said. That's not fair, Anne said. It's obvious Tanchi didn't know anything about this stupid gesture, whatever it means. It's barbaric to flog soldiers. The general turned on her. They honored a Painon as the Kuang, and he answered them. We'll all be lucky to avoid being buried awake. Flogging's the least of their worries. Captain Gonji stepped out of formation. The girl's correct, my general. As the highest-ranking officer, I take full responsibility. Please let Captain Shura proceed to his post on Revenant. The fact that we'll never see him again overcame us. Accept our humble apologies. The soldiers, including Tanchi, knelt before the general. Can't stop causing trouble for your people, can you, devil? Senator Reimer said. Mass murderer. Your wicked arrogance, your murderous greed, your adulterous ways. Killed your own people, your wife and children. He translated for the crowd, adding, such are the sinful ways of demons. He stared at Anne and John. And the whores of Babylon and the sodomites they seduce. The march laughed. Tanchi snarled. He jumped up, flew across the hall and knocked the senator flat. One hand jerked back the ambassador's head to expose his neck. Stark terror crossed Reimer's face. Someone screamed. Tanchi bared his fangs. Tanchi's going to tear his throat out, Andre yelled. Tanchi struck. Menendez's soldiers tackled their captain before he could rip Reimer's neck and sent him sprawling down beside Reimer. They threw themselves on top of Tanchi. Reimer scrambled up, blood pouring down his neck. Tanchi's hands shot out and just missed his foot. The ambassador stumbled across the mosaic. The march and vampire soldiers brawled. Station police rushed up. People stampeded out the entrance. Get that monster off this station. Reimer pulled out a handkerchief and held it to his bloodied neck. The general barked orders. Her soldiers pushed the march aside and retreated out the entrance, heading back to their ship. Gonji and Private Curran held Tanchi between them. Let me go. I won't hurt anyone, Tanchi said. No, Gonji said. Tanchi hissed. They dragged him out of the hall. Some police followed while others restored order. Andre stared at the moaning bodies, most of them marched that littered the floor. He grinned, his fangs bared. Time to go to the starlight for the reception.
Thank you very much for listening to our podcast this week, and if you absolutely can't wait for next week to get the rest of the story, you can go on over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/forgottenfantasy. Get the digital copy of the novel for $5. Well, our Facebook page is facebook.com/forgottenfantasy, twitter.com/@gamersillogical. Thank you again for listening. Take care and good health. Bye-bye.